Welcome to the Home Care Hub, the podcast series sponsored by the Home Care Advocacy Network. Today we have a leader with us, Patrice Thabot. Patrice has been a home care leader and a leader within senior living at the dawn of the coronavirus pandemic. So we're excited about our discussion with her today. My name is Mark Goetz. I'm the CEO and president of the Home Care Advocacy Network. We are a business format home care franchise for senior living providers and an entrepreneur-driven franchise for those who want to be their own boss and make a difference. The services that we provide are everything from companionship and respite care, personal care services, as well as dementia care for seniors. And we are expanding our footprint here in the U.S. and throughout the world in the coming years. And we are very fortunate to have one of those leaders who is going to be helping us do that today. Patrice, welcome.
Thank you, Mark.
So we're going to jump into a topic today that you were kind of right at the forefront of. I'd like to let our listeners get to know you a little bit more here at the beginning. You know, I mentioned that you have a long home care history as a very successful leader there, and then you transitioned, and this doesn't happen very often in my experience, into a senior living role. And I'd love to hear more, and I'd love to have everybody listening hear more about you and your experience.
Sure. I was in the home care business for a little over 13 years, owned and operated a franchise, very successful. And after I sold that business, I took a little time to reset, then came upon an opportunity to work at an independent and assisted living facility as the executive director. And I was very interested in pursuing the opportunity, thought it would be a still in the home care space, but a little bit different from providing the home care at the facility and being on the other side of things.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit more about, you know, as you ended your career. So you were a startup business in and around then 2003 or so?
Yep, 2003.
Okay.
Up to 2016.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more, like towards the end of your career as a home care owner, you know, what was the size and makeup of your business? Where are you located?
I'm located in Vermont, okay. In the Burlington, Vermont area. And at the time that I moved on from the business, we were serving around anywhere between 150 and 170 clients and had probably about 200 caregivers active at any time.
Wow.
And I would say it was a mix of providing the care, of course, in traditional home settings, and also providing a lot of care in senior living, senior housing communities, independent senior housing communities, as well as assisted living and continuing care communities.
Okay. And then tell me, like, what led you to becoming an owner of a home care business? Were you in healthcare previously to home care ownership?
I was not. I was not in healthcare. Prior to getting involved with my home care franchise, I was in the software industry. And I was living in and around the Boston, Massachusetts area. And I worked at a number of different software companies, mostly focused on technical support and towards the end of my career, technical sales and software sales.
Okay.
And I am a native Vermonter, so I grew up in Vermont. And at early 2000-ish, both my parents were in their late 70s, and they were, my dad was the primary caregiver for my mom, who was living at home with Alzheimer's. And I had become more and more involved in helping with their care at home, along with several of my other siblings, and decided that I wanted to move and be closer to help care for them at home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. I moved back to Vermont from the Boston area and never really could find, I left my employment and I did actually have another job for a short period of time when I moved back. And unfortunately, it was a business that was affected by the 9/11 situation. Wow. And so my employment ended and I was really began to think about what was the next thing I wanted to do. And I looked at a few different opportunities, but in the end, I ended up going on to franchise.com and looking at different franchise opportunities. And the reason I did that was I was interested in having my own business. However, I didn't feel like I had that exact background and knew that most franchise opportunities really provide you with a roadmap. And so from there, I came across now in the early 2000s, there weren't nearly as many home care opportunities as there are now.
Yeah.
So in my research, I came across Home Instead Senior Care.
Yep.
And realized that in my community, there weren't very many options for home care. And we were taking care of my parents and we were doing it ourselves. And we were putting ads in the newspaper and, you know, having a real struggle of finding trained and reliable help.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a light bulb went off and thought, wow, this is a great opportunity. This is something that I'm passionate about. I grew up taking care of my grandmother in her home, and we had one of my aunts come to our home. And so I really am passionate about helping people, you know, stay at home if that's what they want to do. And so it just kind of all came together. And that's how it started. We opened the, myself with one of my siblings opened up the franchise here in Burlington and grew from there.
That's great. Yeah, that's a great organization, Home Instead Senior Care. And, and that's where I got a lot of my training and understanding about the industry as well. And where I learned a lot of things about leadership and support and what it takes to support entrepreneurs who are starting their own businesses or jumping onto a moving train and buying a business. So, and then how ultimately to provide great care as well and a great experience. So then you moved on and really successfully transitioned from being a business owner to then becoming an employee for a senior living organization. And Patrice, mm-hmm. you know, just in my own experience and knowing you and, you know, over the years, you have certain qualities that just naturally align with good organizations, your high degree of responsibility and your high level of respect and your ability to drive quality relationships through that, like has just, you're second to none. So I guess, you know, in my thinking, it's kind of a natural thing. If someone like you with this great experience is in Burlington, which would really be considered a smaller market, you know, when you look at the franchising world, you look at the number of seniors in a given territory, in a given area, and Burlington's a good market, but it's not certainly one of the largest. It's not compared to like a Chicago or it's a nice metropolitan area. Yeah. So then to have you operate at some of the highest levels of quality in your local community, your business had previously provided some services to the senior living community that then you transitioned into. And then you were the interim executive director at a large senior living community in your community. Is that how that relationship started?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. I worked with them extensively, providing home care to many of their residents. So this particular facility was both independent living and residential care. So they had a mix of both. And it was interesting when I first started out with the home care business, my focus was really on the providing the care in more of the traditional home setting. That's just what I thought.
Yeah.
And as I learned, a lot of the, you know, I think the perception was that when you went into these senior living communities, there was a lot more support in place than in the reality that there was. So,
yeah,
you know, just like living in your more traditional home, living in the senior housing, I mean, that is your home.
Yep.
And that's where you want to stay. And so we learned that there were many, many opportunities in the different res care settings and independent living settings. And so I learned that this particular organization was looking for an interim executive director. They were in the process of a sale.
Okay.
And I had worked with many of the leadership team at the senior living organization and really wanted to help them through this transition and really help the residents through the transition.
That's great. So then tell me and tell our listeners, so you transitioned in from home care into senior living, and then how soon from the time you started until you caught wind of this? So I think we were all kind of caught wind of the, I had heard about the pandemic starting in Southeast Asia, maybe in the November, December timeframe, but it was a kind of a grossly underestimated, you know, report that I had heard through, you know, some contacts. And then as we were launching the Home Care Advocacy Network this year, you know, January-ish, then into February, then it really started to, we started to hit, and we really didn't know what we were dealing with yet at the time. But how soon for you from when you were, you know, you started the interim executive director role to the pandemic, how long was that? Were you able to get your feet under you a little bit first in that role?
Yeah, it was just about almost a year that I had been on board when the pandemic basically hit. And I, like you know, I kind of heard about it like right around November, December. And, you know, I try to remember now what I thought about it back then.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of saw that in the news and wow, that's, well, you know, that'll never get here. Right.
Yep.
So really when it really hit here was, you know, mid-March, right? That's when things seems like right around the middle of March is when everybody's attention really came to it. I would say when all the various things just shut down, and really you know, we think about the biggest thing that shut down was in the sports world.
Yep.
And that happened like on a Thursday or Friday. And come that Monday, we were in the process of realizing that it was here, it was coming. And those first, the last couple of weeks of March were quite intense. In my community, in Burlington, it started out with an outbreak at one of the local nursing homes, you know, 5 miles from where I was working. Unfortunately, like it happened back in March and April, once it got into a community, in this case, it was a skilled nursing facility, mm-hmm. you know, it just spread.
Right.
And everybody was playing catch up. So it was very striking. And unfortunately, there were about 35 deaths at that one community. And many, many others who were sick and recovered, both residents and staff. So we immediately closed the facility to outsiders. We were one of the first facilities to do that. So no visitors. And that was, you know, that's quite shocking for residents, for staff, for family members.
Yeah.
And then that was just the tip of the iceberg. From there, we closed the dining room. We stopped activities. We started screening all staff and residents twice a day. We started planning for gathering the PPE and really, you know, pretty much every day that's what the focus was. And it was just keeping the residents safe, keeping the staff safe kind of one day at a time.
At that point, were you, I guess the question is what, like following through that, we all know, you know, what's transpired, and we're all, I think, grateful that, you know, there's at least some hope of a vaccine, you know, on the horizon and getting, you know, more help from the medical community in that way. But I'm really interested, and I wanted to, you know, have you on today to have you share with our listeners your leadership lessons through that time. And if you were to, you know, if you were able to share with us the top two or three lessons coming away from that, you know, what would they be? You know, how did you, you know, survive yourself, you know, keep your own sanity, help others keep theirs? You know, in my experience of you, you've always been kind of a calming force in the midst of chaos. And so I'm super curious on how that played into that scenario. And then I think, you know, for our listeners, you know, what can we learn from your experience?
So that's a really good question, Mark. And I would say the number one lesson learned really was all around communication and how you communicate and how you deliver the information to everybody that was involved. We had leadership meeting every single morning with myself and all of the department heads. And it was all about just, you know, reviewing what we needed to do, reviewing the policies, reviewing the protocols every single day. They were also changing policies, procedures, protocols, having to follow different state guidelines as well as CDC guidelines. So just being very clear and concise with what we needed to do. And then after our leadership meetings, we would have all staff meetings, and we had them every day, and I led them.
Wow.
And it didn't matter. That would be the first like 2-3 hours of my day, because the information was coming very fast, and you just couldn't assume that everybody was taking it in. So we allowed for a lot of time for employees to talk about their concerns, and we had to, you know, assure that everybody was understanding what needed to be done. And it wasn't even everything at work. It was also outside of work, right? Because after a period of time, people were being asked to, you know, limit their activity. And we had a time of pretty much stay at home for, obviously we were essential workers, but for everybody else. So it was really important to me to support the staff as best I could so that the staff could support the residents. That was key. And so besides that, you know, in-person communication and giving people time to ask questions and being available, also communicated to the residents and their family members, because that was as important. One of the things that I was so grateful for was the understanding of the family members and the residents that everything we were doing was for their safety. I guess, you know, some of the other lessons too were just really appreciating your team, relying on your team, and just being really approachable and compassionate with everyone.
That was
important. And just making sure they understood why we were doing what we were doing. You know, those are some of the lessons. Through it all, you know, a couple of positives. I was very fortunate at our community. We did not have any cases. Although you needed to operate, like you had to be ready and you had to operate as if you could have a case at any minute in time. And again, that just went back to reviewing protocols and procedures and what ifs and what are we going to do if this happens, and just reviewing that daily. But we also, I feel like we as a community, different providers were really working together to help each other. Hospitals, nursing homes, home care providers. We all had to be available to help if and when needed. Sharing resources, even sharing equipment. I'd say it was a positive of one of the things that came out of it, just a stronger community.
That's great. And it's okay to say, you know, positives, because I do think there are certain things that have come out of the pandemic. And even, you know, the president and CEO of Leading Age National has come out and said that, you know, there's now a new kind of there's number one, a new kind of resilience, but there's also this understanding that the way businesses have operated in aging services need to really take a look at their operating model. And they need to, let's face it, like as we were building the Home Care Advocacy Network, I think our biggest risk in educating the senior living world was kind of the inertia that is created by success. You know, when you have a very successful model for years that operates relatively undisturbed, you can get a sense that it's like, look at how good we are, kind of. And not to say that they weren't, but that inertia of success now, for the most part, has been taken away. And people are hungry to know like what the future of aging really is. Senior living is still going to be a component of that. But there is this kind of, people are open to more perspectives and discussion. And so that's just in closing today, I'm really curious to hear what you think about maybe the future of aging services and the senior living industry. And for you, working in both, really, in working in home care and senior living, right in the middle of it all, give us your vision of what the future is and how you see things changing and morphing into over the next few years.
You know, even before the pandemic, right, most seniors want to stay at home. It's been that way. And since COVID now, I think even that feeling has increased. I think right now seniors want to stay at home for as long as possible if they can. So I think that those seniors that are looking to move now, or, you know, over the next, you know, months or years, I think that what they're going to be looking for is going to be a little bit different than previously.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be a focus on so much. This is my opinion. So much of a focus on all the bells and whistles of a nice independent living community. I think they're really going to be focused on the health and safety aspects more than the, you know, cocktail hours and activities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that senior living communities are going to have to be very open and transparent about what their protocols are and how they did handle the pandemic.
Yep.
Because people are going to want to know. And I think there's going to have to be, even before the pandemic, but even more so now, I think there needs to be a lot more training for your staff working at your communities. You hope that this was a once in a 100-year type of thing, and I guess we really don't know. So yeah. I think everybody needs to be operating around what potentially could happen, you know, again. So it's going to be a challenge. And I think that the senior housing, they're going to have to offer other services that they probably don't offer now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just really think, for me, the moving to a senior living community and the fear of a lockdown and not being able to see your loved ones, we didn't really touch on that, but that was probably one of the more heart-wrenching aspects of the whole pandemic, was seeing the residents who were being isolated and not being able to communicate with their family. That was just really heart-wrenching. Yeah. And there was only so much we could do. Yep. Because you were stretched thin with your staff at any given moment. If somebody were to test positive or be a close contact, you could have overnight, you know, 2, 3, 4, 10 of your staff unable to come to work.
Yeah.
So we were definitely working with a shortage, and then which did not enable the staff that were working to spend as much time as they would have liked to. And so you definitely had some seniors suffer from yeah. being isolated. And that was really, really unfortunate.
Well, I really appreciate everything that you're saying here. You know, what I heard you say was communication. It was really key, both formal and informal. Moving into the informal, not forgetting to share appreciation and remaining approachable during, you know, when you are having an operational crisis, that you have to be the leader that remains calm and still draws people into you. And it's no doubt as a part of your leadership that your community at the time, you know, experienced, no deaths. That was quite a success and probably very fulfilling, because that was not the experience of everyone at the time, sometimes by no fault of their own. So as we were learning so much about the pandemic, as we, it seemed like it was almost day by day. And I did want to add that you've been a core help to us here at the Home Care Advocacy Network this year, really playing a role as one of our core consultants. As we build out the model, we want to empower senior living communities to have their own in-home services arm so they can widen their funnel. They can start with building the relationship far sooner in the process than what they normally would with families and seniors. And also going to be providing a role as a corporate success trainer with us, helping teach and train franchisees and operators really how to operate and own successful franchise businesses that provide home care services. So thank you for all of your help this year, and really appreciate your time today, Patrice.
You're welcome, Mark. Thank you.
As always, you can contact us at partner@hcanthrive.com. We're on the World Wide Web at hcanthrive.com. The Home Care Advocacy Network is a business format home care franchise for senior living providers and an entrepreneur-driven franchise for those who want to be their own boss and make a difference. Franchisees provide companionship and respite care, personal care, and dementia care for families and their loved ones to take care of their aging-in-place needs. So thank you again, Patrice, until we meet again.
Okay, Mark.
Thanks.